Support for WPR comes from 4imprint, providers of promotional products for businesses, including embroidered apparel, trade show items, and logoed business gifts. More is at 4imprint.com. 4imprint, for certain. Support for WPR comes from the American Society of Landscape Architects Wisconsin chapter, dedicated to reimagining the design of outdoor spaces for the well-being of all. Examples at wiasla.com.
First, the 50th anniversary of the first moon landing is this coming Saturday. Apollo 11 took off from Kennedy Space Center in Florida on July 16, 1969. It landed on the lunar surface 4 days later. About 6 hours after that, Commander Neil Armstrong uttered this famous line as he stepped outside.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And with that, the space race was effectively over. The crew of three returned to Earth on July 24th, splashing down in the Pacific Ocean. 5 decades later, several objects, big ones, small ones, important ones, even weird ones, can be seen at the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum. Some of them are also detailed in a new book. Teasel Muir Harmony is the curator of the National Air and Space Museum's Apollo Spacecraft Collection. She's also the author of the new book, Apollo to the Moon, A History in 50 Objects. Teasel, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, I'm guessing this is a pretty exciting week for you and one you've been planning on for a while. What does the Apollo mission mean to you personally?
I think it means a number of things. It's a topic that I've been studying for over a decade at this point, and I'm primarily interested in the relationship of Project Apollo and U.S. diplomacy during the 1960s. And so for me, a lot of its meaning comes from it's how it supported U.S. foreign relations in the 60s and the 70s.
And for those of us who might not have been to the Smithsonian to the Air and Space Museum, what awaits us in this Apollo exhibit particularly?
Well, right now we have a special case of Apollo 11 artifacts, including what we call Armstrong's purse. So this is a bag that was created to take care of miscellaneous items. And Armstrong ended up filling it with a few objects from the Apollo 11 mission and bringing it back to Earth. And after his death, his wife contacted the museum and said she found it in the closet. And it had all these wonderful items from the Apollo 11 mission that we thought had been left on the moon. So that's one of the things that we've put on display just recently, including the data acquisition camera. So this is the camera that was mounted in the window of the lunar module and recorded the landing of Apollo 11. And we have it again, and we're able to share it with people who visit the Air and Space Museum.
So wait, he just kind of took these things home with him? Where do things have to go through any kind of decontamination or anything?
There were like souvenirs almost. Things were checked out, but the astronauts were able to bring quite a bit home with them in this period.
Wow, that's really interesting. That sounds like that's one of your favorites. Are there any other favorite objects that are on display and that you feature in your book?
Well, tomorrow we're putting Neil Armstrong's spacesuit back on display, the first time in many years, and it's undergone extensive conservation efforts. We're really excited. Tomorrow morning it'll go back on display. And there are a number of great artifacts within this special Apollo 11 case, including things like Mike Collins' toothbrush, which is a great reminder of what it's like to live in space, and that you have to take into account, you know, things like brushing your teeth, or there are a pair of sunglasses that we have on display as well. And then also things like rock boxes, so, you know, how the astronauts brought lunar material with them back to Earth.
Well, you mentioned brushing your teeth. There are other, shall we say, hygiene things that come into play when you are in space. While Armstrong had the first lunar step, you write that Buzz Aldrin holds the title of the first human to urinate on the moon. And there's an object for that. What is that?
Yes, we have a urine collection and transfer assembly in our collection from Apollo 11, basically a urine collection device. And we also have artifacts that dealt with other bodily functions as well. So some of the less glamorous side of space space flight, space travel.
Wow. Yeah. It's things that you take for granted in everyday life, right? We're talking with Chisel Muir-Harmony. She's curator of the National Air and Space Museum's Apollo Spacecraft Collection. She's also the author of Apollo to the Moon, A History in 50 Objects. And you write about the main parachute, not from Apollo 11, but from Apollo 16. And its job was to slow the capsule down as it returned to Earth. A parachute seems like a pretty low-tech thing for such a high-tech mission. How do those devices work?
It is actually quite a complex parachute because if you think about the reentry of the spacecraft, it goes through the Earth's atmosphere, and there's different levels of density depending on which part of the atmosphere it's going through. And so one of the problems they would have encountered is that a typical parachute would have done what is called sort of squidding at high areas of the atmosphere. So there wasn't enough sort of material to help it expand fully, and then that would have been a problem for the astronauts to land safely. And so they had to develop this special type of parachute called a ribbon ring sail parachute, and it has holes in it, and that's designed for stability during the landing process. But getting the astronauts safely back to Earth was one of the critical criteria of Project Apollo. So it wasn't just send humans to the moon and land, but then also return them safely back to Earth. And so that's a whole area of the program that required quite a lot of technological development and imagination as well.
What's the physically largest Apollo object that people can see at the exhibit?
I think that's hard to say. We have some components that are related to it. So we have artifacts from the Apollo Soyuz test project. So you can see what an Apollo command module looked like. But this Apollo 11 case is much some of the smaller material. We're going to have a new Apollo exhibit opening in 2022 with some of the larger artifacts back on display. Mm. And I guess I should also, mention the Lunar Module 2, which we have in the entrance to the museum in a different area. But this is a very large artifact, and this is the spacecraft that the astronauts used to actually land on the moon.
Well, that would be great to see, you know, kind of the dimensions and see that in person. You know, I think space travel and big events like the lunar landing capture everyone's imagination, but kids especially can get really excited and interested in it. There are some space-themed toys that are part of your collection. Why is that an important aspect to collect and remember?
Well, a huge part of the space program and why it happened was a sort of imagination, public engagement, and interest. And throughout the early 1950s, science fiction, stories about space exploration, kids' enthusiasm for it was an important part of making spaceflight seem like something that could be possible and like something that we should do and inspire a lot of people. And so you see wonderful space toys from that period and then also through the 1960s. And for us, it also represents public engagement and the ways that people think about spaceflight, and it impacts their own lives.
And President Trump has announced that he wants the U.S. to return to the moon by 2024. Whether we make that deadline or not, what kinds of things might we find up on the moon from previous Apollo missions, considering you said that that bag that was found in a closet was assumed to have been left on the moon? What else has been left up there?
We left a lot of the cameras, and then we also left the descent stage of the lunar module, and then also a fair amount of trash. So the astronauts did not bring, a lot of the trash home with them. There was no need, and it was heavy, and they wanted to be able to bring back as much lunar material as possible. So there are a number of bags of trash and things like that discarded. There are also some symbolic objects that they brought up to recognize some of the fallen astronauts and cosmonauts, as well as to recognize all of human civilization. So the U.S. invited foreign leaders around the world to compose messages that were inscribed on a silicon disk and left on the lunar surface.
Mm-hmm. And before we let you go, Tizo, once this anniversary passes and a lot of the Apollo excitement winds down a little bit, what are you hoping people remember about this mission and the moon space exploration and kind of our place in the universe?
Well, I often refer to something that Neil Armstrong said because I think it captures it really well. And he hoped that the meaning of Apollo to people would inspire people to believe that things that seemed impossible might be possible, or to be really bold and ambitious and to take on challenges that you might not know, how to achieve them, what the answer is, how to approach it, but to take on that challenge and find the answer.
Well, Teasel, thanks so much for joining us, and enjoy the festivities.
Thank you.
Teasel Muir Harmony is the curator of the National Air and Space Museum's Apollo Spacecraft Collection. We talked with her about her book and the exhibit that she's also curating, Apollo to the Moon, A History in 50 Objects. This coming Thursday, we'll talk about the legacy of the Apollo space mission, including technological advancements and some of the conspiracy theories that resulted from that voyage. Again, that's coming up Thursday on Central Time.